Good morning, welcome to Emmett Audio. It's an overcast, glowering, rainy day. And it always shocks me at how the mood of the day suits the mood in your body. Like your body senses that. It doesn't always line up. It can be overridden in a positive or negative direction, regardless of the weather, but you know, it reinforces in a direction, right? An overcast day, if you're feeling low, it'll make you feel lower. On a bitterly cold day, if you're feeling cold, it'll make you feel colder. On a sunny, beautiful day, if you're feeling good, it'll make you feel better. And I think that reinforcement is perhaps more profound than the counterbalancing effect that weather can have on your mood. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about this phenomenon I just witnessed. My older daughter, she decided she wanted to have a smoothie for breakfast. And she decided this last night, and she decided to make the smoothie last night. And I said, I'm not sure it's gonna age particularly well, you know, even if you refrigerate it. She said, no, Dad, I'm gonna do it. All right, well, this morning it was not all that great. So she drank a little bit and then decided to start throwing more things into it. She'd made it in one of those Nutribullet mini blender things, so all she had to do was swap the tops and stick it back in the blender. And she was throwing in frozen strawberries and frozen mango and this and that. And at a certain point I stopped her. Well, early on I stopped her and said, "You sure you want, like, that feels like it's not necessarily going to make it better. You might be better off just remaking it." Right? How much smoothie can you have? At this point, you've made a container and a half of smoothie. You're going to drink half a container. You would have been better off starting over. And she was like, "No, no, no. It's a potion. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep adding stuff and see what happens." And I said, "Okay, stop right there." When she was a little kid, she used to make potions. She would beg us to get to use tea bags and spices and things. And we'd say to her, "No, you're not going to make anything edible or usable. Go use leaves and twigs and dirt and whatever you can get for free. But you don't get to use good ingredients to make something that you're not actually going to eat." And I could see that she was getting into that space. Sure enough, as she's walking out the door, she turned to me and she said, "You were right, Dad. That didn't help the situation." And I said, "You want a piece of bacon?" And I gave her one of my pieces of bacon. Tied her over till lunch. What I think that was an example of throwing good money after bad. And this happens at all different places in our lives. You try something, it doesn't work, and instead of cutting your losses and trying something else, you double down. I've done this many, many times when cooking. You know, you're winging it, doesn't turn out so great, so you just keep winging it and winging it and throwing in more and more ingredients, trying to dilute the effect of what you first created so that it's a small enough portion of the whole that it's palatable. And you end up with a vast quantity of food that basically nobody wants to eat. And I've had this happen to me many times. There was once, actually, so this was actually smart of me, when I was first learning how to cook, and I was 22, first learning how to, like, really cook for myself, because before then I'd been in college and been working on sailing ships and learned to cook on sailing ships, but was never really responsible for cooking every meal for myself. So there I was winging it, and something was so bad that I tried to scrape it into the compost and start over without Cecilia noticing. Of course, course she noticed and asked, well, what's wrong with that? And I had to confess that it was so bad. But at least in that instance, I wasn't trying to salvage a situation. There's so many times in our lives when we try to salvage a situation, whether it's a job situation or a friendship, and you end up putting in so much effort into the thing, trying to dilute down the thing that's bad into a small enough portion of what exists that it's palatable, right? You put in so much energy and so many of your resources trying to make something palatable that you fail to recognize that you should have just cut your losses and moved on to the next thing. Now, this doesn't work in every circumstance because I'm a big believer that, you know, when you commit to a partner, the standard is higher than that. When you have kids, the standard is way higher than that, right? You don't get to cut your losses from your kids. And so there, I think it's more helpful with your kids, with your spouse, to think of it in terms of repair. Different analogy, probably better outcome. But sometimes, say, food can be repaired. Sometimes it's not worth it. And sometimes it can't really be repaired, right? Sometimes the thing that needs to happen is it needs a lift, needs a squirt of lemon, it needs a sprinkle of salt, right? That's food that needs to be repaired, that can be repaired. Sometimes you make something that's really not good, and to make it good would require so much effort and so many ingredients that you should just start over again. I guess the analogy holds for relationships as well. I just think that if you are lucky and you and your partner share the same commitment to making the other person happy, and you guard and you tend that spark of love that you have between you, then it remains something that can be repaired, that can be maintained, that can be fixed. Instead of something where no matter how much effort you pour into it, it's never going to take away the taste of the initial part. And that's for everyone to decide, right? You know, a lot of stuff can happen in relationships. And where that line is, where something is irreparably broken, unsalvageable, where it's not worth salvaging, is going to be a very personal decision. But I think there are many instances in life that are less high stakes than that, where we still have a tendency to throw good money after bad, right? Where we know that something didn't go as planned, something, you know, we screwed up somehow, and we should take our loss and move on, and yet we can't help doubling down. Classic gambling move is just doubling down because you think it's luck. You think your luck's going to change. But it happens in many other aspects of our lives as well. And I think it happens in our relationships as well. And I would say the earlier in a relationship you get a sense that that in order to make this relationship the thing that you want it to be, whether that's a partner or a friendship or something like that, the earlier in a relationship you can determine that in order to make this thing what you hope it would be, something delicious, something good, that it's going to require tremendously more inputs than you thought, well, the clearer it is that you should cut your losses and walk away. And you know, I don't believe in the one. I believe that you can be happy with many people. There are many compatible people. But I do think that wherever you are in your life, when you are in a relationship with somebody, you know, friendship or romantic partnership, you get a sense pretty critically of what does this dish taste like? Is it good? Is it really good? Is it good in all of the ways, or is one part of it good and one part of it, is it too sweet and it's going to give you a sick stomach afterwards? And I think when you find somebody who is a good potential long-term partner, they feel that way because you feel like if they were a dish, they would be a delicious dish that didn't require adjusting at the moment. You could see how in the future it might require adjusting, but you have faith that they would be a good partner in that process with you. And I'm getting out over my skis here, but I think, you know, this is how we learn this lesson as young people, right? I think my older daughter learning this about smoothies, about, you know, sometimes you just, something isn't going to be salvaged to be what you hope it's going to be. You learn that with a smoothie. It's not that it protects you from having to learn it with people, but at least gives you a touch point so that when it happens to you, you recognize it and are better able to see and acknowledge what's going on when it happens. Thank you for listening. Talk tomorrow.